had that feeling of sleep come over you, you can fight it. You have my permission to slap yourself. You do not have my permission to slap your wife or your husband. We can't mediate in those situations. But we're glad to be back this afternoon. I wanted to, kind of a spinoff from this morning's lesson, talk a little bit about the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. You think about this, that some skeptics of the Bible have long criticized Bible believers for the fact that there is just so much emphasis in the Scriptures on blood. Now, the bloody sacrifices in the Old Testament, the blood of Christ, and sort of make an insinuation that is kind of a taken from the pagans who like to offer animal sacrifices and that sort of thing. But what they don't realize is that the blood of Christ is a fitting symbol for the cleansing of a soul. The life is in the blood, so said the inspired writer of the book of Leviticus. And we know, even by scientific discoveries, that the blood is actually essential to life. It carries our impurities out of our body, the carbon monoxide through the lungs, other types of things harmful to the body, out through the kidneys. It brings nutrients and so forth to the cells of our body. Very, very, very important to life itself. And so when the Bible talks about the blood of Christ cleansing our souls from sin, that's such a fitting metaphor. You really couldn't find a better description. When we talk about cleanliness, sometimes people will say, well, you know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. And we're not realizing, of course, that's not in the Bible. If it were, we would have some work to do. You know, I wouldn't be able to leave my clothes laying around or things like that. I'd be in big trouble. But that's not in the Bible. But the Bible does talk about cleanliness in the sense of spirituality. In the days of Jesus, there were certain Pharisaic leaders that Jesus rebuked in Matthew 23. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." Start on the inside. I don't know, I don't need a show of hands here, but you know, you think that if your dish goes through the dishwasher, it would always be clean. And sometimes it looks really good until you look inside. Now, how many here think that, well, it's been through the dishwasher, it's clean on the outside, it's got to be clean on the inside, so even though that junk's still in there, I'm going to go ahead and use it again? I don't think I would do that intentionally. So I think we recognize that's important. Sometimes there's a problem between external and internal cleansing. It's kind of like the idea of cleaning the house. I don't know anybody does that. I've never known anybody to do it, but to pick up the rug and sweep the dirt under the carpet. It's still there. It's out of sight. I have known of people who maybe in college or maybe growing up, when told to clean their room or straighten up, that they would open their closet and shove the stuff in there and close the door. Especially if someone's coming to visit you, and by all means, you're not going to look in the closet. So just throw everything in there and worry about it later. Well, the Pharisees were kind of like doing that. They were taking care of the outside. They had certain regulations and rules they meticulously followed to be clean on the outside. They didn't want to be polluted by the common man. And so when they went to the marketplace, they would come back and they would have certain regulations that they had to abide by to become clean. And some of these of their predecessors, the ancestors, had a problem as well. Clean on the outside, but not on the inside. Think about the first chapter in the book of Isaiah, which is a chapter that talks about the continuing, what he calls, the trampling of my courts. God says, I hate it. You come into the courts all the time. You come into the temple all the time. You're offering animal sacrifice. You're doing all kinds of things to be ceremonially clean. But then he points out that that's not the case on the inside. And so in Isaiah chapter 1, it says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. The real cleanliness that God wanted was not just the coming and offering the sacrifices, but he wanted them to repent and to change their lives as well. A New Testament counterpart to that would be James chapter 4 and verse number 8, where James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so when the Bible talks about the hands and the heart, it's often a metaphor for the outside and the inside. The heart is the inside. The hands are the outside. You get the hands clean and the heart clean, then the whole self is clean spiritually. And so we want to talk about spiritual cleansing. And if we want to talk about that, we'd have to look first on the inside. The Lord does not look at man the way man looks at man. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, where does he look? He looks at the heart. And so we need to develop an attitude of the heart, which allows God to clean the heart. Like David in Psalm 51, as he's talking there in prayer and asking God to forgive him, he says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. In verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a man who understood that God is concerned about what was in his heart. And he wanted to have that heart renewed. Sometimes we think about the heart and its cleansing. And we sing the song, what can wash away my sins? Well, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what cleanses our heart from its sin. On the day of judgment in heaven, we will find those in heaven who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. People wouldn't understand that. Thinking, what do you mean, wash a white robe and make it white? How do you make a robe white in blood? But the figure of speech there is describing the effect of Christ's blood in cleansing the soul from its sins. So it's important for us to seek that spiritual cleansing, that cleansing on the inside. And in order to emphasize that and maybe to emphasize the benefit of spiritual cleansing, I'd like to look at a couple of things. Now, some of you are too young for this, so you may want to... Some of you won't remember this. I don't mean it's bad stuff, but this is stuff from the last century as far as the illustration is concerned. But I want you to think about this. Do you remember the days of soap wars? I can hardly remember it, but you might. It used to be when I was growing up that television... You had one or two channels, maybe, and you had an antenna that you have to spin around and try to get that one or two channels. And a television had commercials back then, but there weren't very many. They weren't so variegated as they are today, and they certainly didn't have all the modern-day products. But there was a time, I think from the 50s to the 70s, I've been born in the middle 50s, but during that period of time, there were several major soap products that were on the market. This is probably the oldest one, perhaps. Talking about Ivory soap. And the advertisement says it is 99.44% pure. And it is so pure that it floats. Remember that? That was pretty cool. It floats. That's pretty convenient when you took a bath, you know, and maybe... Maybe you're sitting in the bathtub, and maybe you're the last one of all the kids to take a bath in that water. That's where I was for some reason. And you lost hold of that soap. Why, it wouldn't sink to the bottom. You didn't have to chase after it. It was right there where you could find it. 99.44% pure, and it floats. They didn't say that they whipped the air into the bar of soap, but that's what probably made it float. But purity is one result of spiritual cleansing. The spiritual cleansing that we have in Christ makes us pure. When you say something is 99.44% pure, does it raise a question in your mind about the other 56.100%? It may raise a mind. What about the rest? Are we content to be 99% pure? And do we think that's good enough? Now, thinking about that, I look at that number, I say, that is pretty good. If I could be 99.44% pure from a human standpoint, I say, I'm a pretty good guy. But spiritually speaking, when you're talking about the God of heaven, who is holy and just and cannot look upon or approve of evil, that's not good enough. It's not good enough. We need 100%. And so in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the scripture talks about the cleansing that we have through the blood of Christ. And there in that passage, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from 99.44% of our sins. No, it cleanses us from all of our sins. And that's the good news that we have in the gospel, that purity is possible. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be like wool." One of the favorite passages in that book, really. And that maybe because it leads back to a song that we used to sing years ago. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I don't think it's in our book, but the idea of spiritual cleansing, wherever you are, however bad it might be, whatever sins you have committed, through the grace of God and our faith in Jesus Christ and the cleansing of his blood, we can be made as white as the snow. So purity is the first benefit of cleansing. The second benefit, going back to the soap wars, is peace. Think about Dove soap. It came along a little bit later, had the emblem of a dove, the symbol of peace. When you think about the dove, you think about Christ, how at his baptism the Spirit descended upon him as in the form of a dove. You think about Christ, who is, in Isaiah 9, the Prince of Peace. You think about Christ in the book of Ephesians, talking about he came to bring, to preach peace to those who are far away and those who are near. And we realize that cleansing is what produces peace. Before I get to... Before I go on, remember Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 talks about this. In that passage, Paul says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So one of the being justified, that's just as if we never sinned. That's like saying being cleansed, we have peace. How can you have peace without spiritual cleansing? I don't think it's possible. I think sometimes people think that they have peace. They think that they're at peace, and they may not be at peace. It may be as the people of old said in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace." Just pretending that their peace doesn't mean their peace. And that occasion they had enemies coming from the north. They were surrounded. It was evident to the objective of mind, to those who could see clearly, that judgment was coming. And they were just telling the people, the prophets, the false prophets, "Peace, peace." And there was no peace because of their sins. And so we need to have peace in our lives, and that's only possible because of cleansing. There is, again, this statement in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. "It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself." Notice. How does he reconcile all things to himself? Because he made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Peace through the blood of the cross. This is what gives us peace in our life. When we talk about peace, perfect peace, that's not possible apart from Christ and the cleansing that he offers. Even in our lives as Christians, Philippians 4 talks about peace and a recipe for it. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he makes his promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In a world of turmoil, in a world of constant friction, in a world of chaos, we can have peace. But that peace comes with the acknowledgement of who God is, that we can bring our problems to Him, that He answers our prayer, and that He gives us this perfect peace. The third one, you might have guessed, dial. This is the one that's in my shower. I still use the old bar soap. Colleen's trying to get me to switch over to that squeezy stuff, and I just can't operate it while I'm in the shower. But the bar soap, you know, it may fall down once in a while, but it usually holds up. The Dial soap, you know, I remember round-the-clock protection they advertised, and I especially like, aren't you glad you used it? And don't you wish other people did too? Hey, they brought in the smell on this one, you know, where the bad odor that you might get. So Christ's blood is available, round-the-clock protection. It's not dependent upon a priesthood or the frailty of man. It's there available for us at all times. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, and His blood, the blood of His Son, cleanses us, present tense, of all sin. Round-the-clock protection. It's conditioned upon walking in the light. Psalm 119, verse 11, talks about the Word. It says, the Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, verse 105. And so we have this protection, round-the-clock protection, available through the blood of Jesus. And the fourth one I'm going to mention, I have a sad commentary to make on this, and that is they are no longer in business. But do you remember Zest? And you remember being zestfully clean? And you remember how in those commercials you could step into the shower, pull out that, I was thinking of Irish Spring, that's the green. I'm not sure about Zest. But you could use that, and it would invigorate you and give you a more step in your life. And just by using that soap, zestfully clean. Well, spiritually speaking, the fact of the matter is, if we are cleansed by the blood of Christ, it gives purpose and fulfillment to our life. Jesus came to give life and to give it abundantly, John 10, verse 10. And the Old Testament, they sprinkled blood on everything in the temple, and that made it cleansed so as to be able to serve. We mentioned this morning that in Christ, we have the cleansing of His blood that cleanses us from dead works to serve the living God. We mentioned that from the Scripture. We are cleansed. But we're not cleansed just to be cleansed. We're not cleansed just to sit there clean. We're cleansed so that we may serve Him acceptably. And God has made it possible for us to be cleansed, providing for us the sacrifice through which that can come about. So here it is, four things that we mentioned here about the benefits of cleansing. Four things. If you can remember those soaps, you might want to get you a bar of each one of those. Purity, peace, protection, and purpose. Cleansing available. Where is it? In Christ. If you're disconnected from Christ, you're severed from the vine, you're not going to have that life. But in Christ, that is available. The Bible says we come into Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism. Our sins are washed away. We're raised to walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is surely connected to the fact that we have at our disposal that continual cleansing through His blood. Think about these thoughts. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to respond. Let us know if we can pray with you or help you in your obedience to the gospel while we stand and while we sing.